Pita.
May it please the court.
Morning.
Good morning, Your Honors. Charles Sensiba for petitioners and interveners. This case concerns FERC's 2009 direct final rule, resulting in significantly higher federal land use annual charges bills for my clients, petitioners and interveners. In just 1 year's time, these hydroelectric licensees' bills increased by more than 200% collectively, and in some individual cases, more than 700%. Now, this case concerns the interrelated issues of Section 10E1 of the Federal Power Act and Section 553 of the APA, but fundamentally, our concerns in this case can be summarized in three quick points, Your Honors. First, although FERC has exclusive responsibilities under Section 10E1 to ensure that annual charges are reasonable and fixed in a manner that seeks to avoid increased costs to consumers, FERC made no examination of the charges produced by the challenge 2009 rule to ensure that they met statutory requirements. On rehearing, FERC concluded that this issue of its reasonableness examination is not even a part of this case, even though licensees squarely raised this issue in their rehearing request, and even though on rehearing the commission all but conceded that it had this responsibility. Second, these fee increases were caused by FERC's change in methodology for determining these fees. Most
you don't mean FERC's change, right? FERC, right? It was, wasn't it BLM's change?
Your Honor, yes.
Isn't it right? I mean, FERC didn't change anything. It just kept using the BLM figures, right?
The underlying methodology has changed.
Right, but it wasn't FERC that changed it. It was relying on a methodology that changed.
It was relying on a methodology that had changed, and significantly for the purposes of our case, that underlying methodology was never subject to the Commission's review of reasonableness under Section 10E1 of the Federal Power Act. And this is an important point for us, Your Honor, because when the Commission first back in its 1987 rulemaking, established its old fee system, it specifically found and rejected that an agricultural lands index was an inappropriate way to value these to establish these charges.
When you started out by saying that the charges to your clients had gone up astronomically, if FERC had adopted in 87 the CPI index, and the reason that your client's charges went up is that the CPI went up, you wouldn't be making this argument, would you?
No, Your Honor, and I think that's an argument that the Commission makes in its rehearing request or in its rehearing order on the CPI, and our view on that particular issue is that we're not talking here about a change in the CPI. What we're talking about is a complete different index that the Commission has decided to use. In 1987, the Commission adopted a particular index, an internally generated index of federal land values that was generated by the Forest Service and the BLM. In the challenged rule, the Commission has changed that index. The new index is an index of agricultural lands.
The big change is that it includes non-federal lands, right?
That's one of the big changes, Judge Williams. But another one of the big changes is that, again, it goes to the character of these lands. These are agricultural lands that the Commission is now using, and these are lands that in 1987 the Commission held that that's an inappropriate comparison between agricultural lands and lands used at hydro projects because of the level of the lands, the fact that they've been cleared, and that they are able to be irrigated. And the Commission made that specific finding in its 1987 rulemaking, and what it's done here is it's turned around and adopted without prior notice or opportunity to comment on now using those agricultural lands as the basis for its fees. And the Commission has done all of that without notice and comment and without a finding of whether that change was reasonable. And even though we raised that issue specifically in our rehearing request, the response that we received, and this is on page 45 of the joint appendix, beginning in the beginning of paragraph 36. The commission says, and this is a quote, "The question of whether the new BLM Forest Service methodology," if I may break in, a recognition that it is in fact a new methodology, "the question of whether the new BLM Forest Service methodology results in a reasonably accurate valuation of federal land used for hydropower purposes is not properly before us." Well, Your Honors, we raised this issue squarely in our rehearing request. We detailed the changes that the commission made, or the changes that were effectuated by the new methodology. From every single component of that formula, it was changed. And we raised the issue of Section 10E1, and the commission's response, at least in paragraph 36, is that that wasn't even before it, whereas just the page prior, paragraph 33 on page 44 of the joint appendix, the commission even recognizes, and again, this is a quote from the middle of paragraph 33 of the order, "that the commission has continued to rely on an underlying index that itself has been changed, arguably might be cause for the commission to re-examine the propriety of using the BLM Forest Service calculations." Well, it's our contention that the commission had that responsibility. That's what Section 10E1 of the Federal Power Act specifically requires, and that's the central holding of this court's decision in the City of Tacoma case.
So, but their argument is that they approved an ever-changing index originally, and that therefore it's too late to change it now.
And yes, Your Honor, that it does make that. There are several problems with that from our view of that construction. First of all, the commission can't ignore its statutory responsibilities under Section 10E.
Let's start with the interpretation of its own rule. I mean, its rule doesn't adopt any methodology at all. Right. And Rule 11.2d is silent. It doesn't say anything about it.
And that interpretation, in order to get to that point, the commission needed to have ignored Order 469 itself, which did not propose an open-ended methodology. It analyzed several proposed and adopted a single methodology, the 1987 BLM Index of Federal Land Subject to FLTMA Permits. And that is the best reading of 11.2 and the commission.
Here we're interpreting an agency's, we're reviewing an agency's interpretation of its own regulation, which is about as deferential as you can get in this court, right? And I mean, your view might, you say, look, you have to review this in view of Order 469, but the commission says, look, just look at the plain language of 11.2b.
And
doesn't say anything about it. So, how can we, where do we get the authority to say that that's, we may disagree with it just as you do, but why is the commission's interpretation unreasonable?
I'll go back to my original answer, Your Honor. The commission can't interpret its regulation in a way that's contrary to its requirements under Section 10E1.
Okay.
But in addition to that, the text of the regulation itself demonstrates that the commission did not just delegate this matter to the Forest Service on an ongoing basis. The opening proviso of Section 11.2 specifically says, pending further order of the commission and subject to adjustments as conditions may warrant. That demonstrates that the commission kept this matter to itself, that the commission retained discretion, and that when circumstances required, the commission can make adjustments.
Well, I take it in addition to your argument about the statute, your argument is that in the original order they explained the meaning of the regulation, and while they're entitled to interpret the regulation, they're not entitled to reinterpret it in a way that makes a substantive change.
That's exactly right, Judge Garland. If one reads Order 469, again, the commission never proposed to have an open-ended delegation to the Forest Service. It looked at four or five.
And your theory is that that would be illegal under 10E, right? They couldn't do that in any effect.
That's exactly right, Judge Tatel.
What if they had announced in their original rule the following? We don't care what Rule 10E, what Section 10E says. We intend to violate it. We are now announcing that we will never again have notice and comment, and that we will delegate all of our authority to another agency. You have the usual X days in which to file a petition for review, and then you don't, which you didn't. Wouldn't that mean you don't have a chance to argue now, even if it was flatly illegal?
That certainly is not the case that we have before us, but I think that Your Honor is correct.
But you're making the argument that they couldn't have done this, not only that this is a change, but that they couldn't have done this, and if they did do it, it would be illegal now, but we would have a statute of limitations problem, or would we?
Well, I think that if there was a subsequent change, Your Honor, that required that had a significant effect, in that particular case, a licensee could always go to the court to appeal their bill and on the basis that it was unreasonable and resulted in an unreasonable annual charge. I would hate to think that in that particular circumstance, if the commission were so open with ignoring its statutory responsibilities under Section 10E1, that licensees in that particular case would exercise their rights to challenge that. But again, that's not what happened in this particular instance.
So in your brief, you emphasize that this update that the commission issued was published in the Code of Federal Regulation, that it was labeled a final rule, that it listed generally applicable binding rates, right, with future effect, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
So does that mean that under your theory that all the prior updates had to have been subject to notice and comment?
Not at all, Your Honor, because in all of the prior updates, the commission was doing what it said it would do in order number 469.
So the fact that this was in this, that this bears these characteristics of a final order in the CFR future, that has really nothing to do with your argument, right? Your argument is that what's different here is that they changed the methodology.
Exactly right, Your Honor. And we think
therefore de facto amended the regulation.
Right. Yes. And because of that de facto amendment of the regulation, that triggered the obligation under Section 10E1 to review whether they're reasonable and go through a notice and comment proceeding to make the changes, as the commission indicates in its own order, that is the appropriate course whenever it changes the methodology, as stated in paragraph 32 of the order on page 43 of the joint appendix. The commission says, the commission has twice instituted formal notice and comment rulemaking proceedings when it proposed to change the methodology by which it calculated federal land use fees. That's what happened here. There's a new methodology. The commission has a responsibility under 10E1, and it must address it. It must review. And that's what we think needs to happen here. We think that because of this significant change, which again resulted in significantly higher fees to my clients, that the appropriate course here is to vacate the orders on review, including the rule, and to remand the proceeding back to the commission.
Thank you.
Unless your honors have any further questions, I will reserve the remainder of my time.
Good morning, Your Honors. Beth Pacella for the Commission. When the Executive Director issued the 2009 notice, it did the same thing it had done for over 20 years.
It did exactly the same thing, correct. But their argument is that the methodology that BLM used to produce the results that the Commission adopted had changed dramatically.
But Your
That's
Honor,
11.2 argument.
Specifically provides for the commission explicitly, provides for the commission for these updates to reflect changes in land values established by the Forest Service.
Right, but you're ignoring Order 469.
No, not at all, Your Honor.
Yeah, because 469 clearly contemplated a particular methodology for calculating these zone values. The BLM has now changed that, correct?
That's true.
It uses a different methodology.
But that's not the only thing that happened in Order 469. In Order 469, the commission also provided it didn't say, and if they change it, we're going to have a new rulemaking, Based on its findings, it turned around and issued 11.2B, which very explicitly states that it, I think it plainly states that it will, the
land
values
established by the Forest Service.
That's right, Your Honor.
And that's on a, in a context where the commission understandably has reviewed a whole bunch of methodologies and said this is a good methodology, rejected a whole bunch of other methodologies. In that context, unless it said, regardless of changes in methodology, your argument seems quite a stretch.
Well, I don't think so, Your Honor, and I think that the commission made very clear that really it's real holdings in this case were procedural, that the proper procedure here was for them to come to FERC for a rulemaking, which they refused to do.
That's true, but only if the challenged order does not actually change the existing regulation. That's fundamentally the contention of the petitioner, that it changes it.
At worst, 11.2B conflicts, is ambiguous, you know, it seems ambiguous in light of what the commission said in Order 469 at worst. And then, so therefore, because all the licensees who are petitioners here were licensees at the time, it was incumbent upon them to come in and say, you've issued 469, and along with it, you've published in the Federal Register this 11.2B that indicates
they should have said back when this was first issued that because this could potentially, 11.2B could potentially be interpreted to contemplate any change the Forest Service or BLM makes in the future, that they should have raised that then?
Absolutely, and that was the commission's holding on page.
I know that's what the commission said.
That's what we're reviewing.
But that doesn't make.
That's what we're reviewing.
Does that really make?
No, I know. I'm just pointing. That's exactly what the commission said. And let me point out
Okay. So you've got 469. So what they have back when this was originally issued is they have 469, which it talks about specific methodologies and rejects certain other ones, right?
That's right.
And then you have the language of 11.2B. Now, why would anyone then have thought, conceivably have thought, that what the commission meant was that it would essentially adopt any land values approved by BLM?
Because that's what 11.2B says, and
you're ignoring my question, asked you also about, you have to ignore 469 to do that, don't you?
No, I don't think you do, Your Honor, because again, as the commission pointed out, 469 didn't say we're not going to, if the Forest Service changes land values, we're going to not adopt them. It said we prefer this methodology. Now, let me point out again.
Order 469, that regardless of methodology, the commission will follow the Forest Service wherever it leads.
No, but I will tell you that what 469 adopted.
The answer is no.
That was an overstatement.
That. Is that correct?
No, that's not correct, because what the commission adopted in 469 was a linear rights of way valuation, and that's still there. What the Forest Service still has today is a linear rights of way valuation, and what the commission did in 469 was not adopt really a hydro project valuation per se. It adopted a linear rights of way valuation.
A number of choices
and doubles that.
Order 469. There were a number of choices.
And the one the commission adopted, Your Honor, was the linear rights of way valuation, which is what the Forest Service still is.
That is the only thing it adopted, right? It adopted what the Forest Service was then saying about how to assign values to these.
Well, it adopted fair market value as the continued
fair market value calculated in a particular way.
For linear rights of way. And that's what's still happening here today. But what my point,
whenever you change, by changing the level of generality, you can always eliminate the fact of change from one thing to another.
But the ultimate point that the commission viewed this as, either this is a collateral attack, which let me point out, the petitioners never mention collateral attack in either of their briefs,
Because it's not a collateral attack.
Well,
why would they mention it?
Because the commission held it, and so they're no longer challenging that. That holding is unchallenged, and it's therefore a challenge to it is waived. commission held that this
commission is can hold anything it wants. This is a legal decision. Question for us as to whether this is a collateral attack. The commission's defense is it's a collateral attack. It's plainly not. This is attack on FERC. This is not an attack that they're collaterally attacking in some other way. Can I ask you, is your position then really the hypothetical I raised before, which is that you announced, your position is FERC can announce in 1987, we're going to do something unlawful. We're not going to ever follow the APA again. And if you want us to follow the APA, you'll have to challenge that within 45 days. That's FERC's position?
I think that's exactly what occurred here on a much smaller scale.
That's exactly what occurred here.
If arguably there was a 10E1 violation, it occurred when the commission promulgated 11.2B and plainly said, we're going to just adopt whatever the Forest Service says.
Your position is they should have understood that FERC was plainly violating the statute.
Or arguably, and come to the commission and said, other people sought rehearing of 11.2, of 469.
Not on this ground. Not on the ground on that you were adopting an ever-changing methodology.
Not on this ground, but other parties
did. So your position is that FERC, if the Forest Service were to adopt the methodology of the Moscow sewer system for charges for its public utility use, that it would be perfectly all right for FERC to adopt that, and that would not be a change in its rule.
It would not be a change in its rule as written, Your Honor, and as this court said in Biggerstaff, which the commission cited at JA 39, paragraph 23, note 35, this court found a procedural hurdle bars our consideration of contention that the court should set aside this exemption because the commission lacked authority to adopt it. Biggerstaff has not petitioned for a rulemaking to modify the exemption.
But the question is whether a reasonable member of the regulated community should assume as an extreme a rule, as you're suggesting this is, notwithstanding that in context, as Judge Williams was saying, in context it appears to be a selection among kinds of methodologies.
Well, let me say that petitioner's position is that no land value changes were contemplated by the Forest Service in its 1986 rulemaking. I'm not sure that that's true, but it's hard for me to understand in that context how they could look ever at 11.2B and not wonder, what do you mean there?
The question before, you agree that, or do you, maybe you don't, our cases say that a substantive change in a rule is a new rule subject to notice and comment.
Right, and that's not what occurred here.
All right, but if we think it is, then you agree that notice and comment was required.
If the commission had changed its rule, as opposed to what it really did, which is just completely comply with it, all that happened here was that the executive director updated the fee schedule to reflect changes in land values established by the Forest Service.
Now we're going back to where you started. But let me ask you the question a different way. When FERC issued 469, it rejected some other alternatives for calculating these land values, right?
That's right, Your
Honor. It rejected, for example, it rejected this agriculture survey, right? That was one of the things.
Okay,
suppose.
The specific agricultural industry,
yeah.
Which is completely
okay, well, suppose BLM here had now adopted that precise agricultural survey system.
I think.
Would the commission now rely on that?
I think it would be a harder case for
why?
Me.
Right? But why?
Only because if the story sounds
good. It would be okay to adopt the Moscow
your
sewer system,
is,
but not the agricultural.
No, my point
department.
Is I think we'd still be right, and I'd be making the same argument based
you would
on
be,
why
right?
Did you include
big?
In your brief right. The assertion that the new methodology is not the same as the rejected one? That's totally irrelevant under your fundamental view.
Well, there are alternative arguments that we're making, and that as the commission pointed out in the rehearing order, it's still linear rights. So it's not.
So is the answer to my question?
The
yes.
Expert agency has determined that this is a better way for them to value linear rights than the way that they were valuing them before. And the story is a better story than that.
So is the answer to my question yes? That is that if BLM had decided, instead of doing what it just did, had simply adopted the agricultural survey that FERC had rejected, that your position would still be that this requires no notice and comment because the original rule adopted as a methodology whatever BLM did, even if it adopted something that FERC had rejected then. Right?
Yes, but I do think it would change FERC's discretionary decision whether it would sua sponte issue a rulemaking.
How does that fit your theory?
Do a new rulemaking now, Your Honor. I think it would change.
How does that fit your theory that they should have challenged it then? I mean, so you're saying also then that regulated parties should have known back in 1987.
Absolutely.
Wait, let me finish my question. Should have known back in 1987 that under Rule 11.2b, FERC would had the authority to approve a methodology that FERC specifically rejected in 1987.
No, what the commission did was say that it would adopt land value changes. Again, if occurred...
I'm not saying... Stick with my question. I'm only talking about the fact that FERC rejected this agricultural survey.
Right.
And you're telling us that members of the regulated party should have known then that 11.2b included the possibility that FERC might in the future rely on that rejected survey, correct?
That's right, Your Honor. Because I think 11.2b
is that. How would anybody have known that?
I'm sorry?
How would anybody have known that?
Because 11.2b is extremely clear. It gives no choice but for the land value changes by the Forest Service to be adopted by the commission and just put in our reg, and then used to create our own charges.
So you find a complete disconnect between the agency's explanation of the regulation it's adopting, that is in Order 469, and the actual regulation?
I think the commission chose, when it was choosing between different things, it chose what it thought was best at the time, and then when it implemented its regulation, when it actually promulgated the regulation, it left it more open.
Did it say that in Rule 469?
It did not say
in
that
Order
specifically.
469.
It did not. And
I'm sorry, you said when it actually promulgated its regulation, but it promulgated it in Order 469.
As part of the same thing. That's my point,
okay.
Is that
so
make you say
it isn't as if this was sort of some after 469 event. This was in 469.
I understand, and I think we kind of see it differently, Your Honor. You see that as a negative. I see that as a positive. I think you would, at worst for the commission, for my position now, you would expect someone to say, whoa, what you're saying here seems to conflict, and we want to fix that ambiguity because we're concerned that maybe something odd will happen in perpetuity.
That requires it to infer a serious possibility that FERC intended complete outsourcing of the methodology, complete, which does not fit FERC's statutory mandate at all.
Well, that's my point, is that if there were a 10E1 error, it occurred at the time the 1987 rulemaking was promulgated.
In the undisclosed opinion of FERC. Right, but why does someone looking at this think, the agency clearly intends complete abandonment of its authority?
It either thinks the commission means that or the commission might mean that, and that's the concern. The commission clearly considers the Forest Service to be the expert agency on land value, and the commission defers to that expertise,
but agency isn't. But the Interior Department is not responsible for enforcing 10E.
No, it's
that
not.
Is for the right.
That's right.
Okay, so FERC can't delegate its authority.
It didn't delegate
agency.
Its authority because what it did was, again, if it made a mistake, it made it in 10E1.
Okay. Is there any difference between what the regulation says and suppose the regulation said this? The Commission finds that annual charges for the use of government lands will be assessed according to their fair market value as determined by the Forest Service. Is that essentially what this regulation says?
Fair market value
as determined by the Forest Service.
The Forest Service.
Yeah.
If you certainly 469 did say that we're using fair market value, and that is true.
No, but so see, what I'm asking you is whether or not the regulation I've just written for you is the same as you're interpreting 11.2b. That is, will be assessed according to their fair market value as determined by the Forest Service. And that's what your position, that's what 11.2b means, right?
I don't have a problem with if there were an interpretation like that, because I think that would be consistent with the commission.
Wouldn't that clearly violate 10E? Wouldn't this clearly amount to delegating FERC's responsibility to make 10E judgments to an agency that doesn't have that responsibility?
I don't know why. Again, I'm not arguing that there might not be a problem with 10E1 as 11.2B was promulgated. Assuming there is one, a problem, people were on notice of that at the time. And these are sophisticated entities. These are
Doesn't
not,
this
you know,
require us to change? Our usual presumption is that agencies act according to the law and that they don't act in a disingenuous fashion. You're asking us to presume, you're asking a regulated party to presume that when the agency says we reject the agricultural index because it's no good, that what they secretly mean is, but we intend to be able to adopt it whenever we want to without more notice and comment. And you're also asking them to say that although the agency is barred from delegating its authority to the Forest Service, you should assume that by this regulation, what we really intend is to delegate our authority to the Forest Service. But aren't those? Why would a reasonable and, you know, perhaps an agency that believe a regulated party that believes the agency isn't intentionally both lying to it and violating its statutory responsibility?
Your Honor, the premise of your question, I think, is mistaken. You're assuming that the agricultural index, what the Commission adopted was. It rejected an agricultural index, and you're forgetting that the Commission adopted a linear rights of way index, and that's exactly
I'm
what BLM.
I'm asking you to use as a hypothetical what Judge Tatel gave to you, because you said it doesn't make any difference; it comes out the same. So imagine, since it comes out the same, I want you to use the hard hypothetical.
Okay.
You're saying that a regulated party should assume that when an agency says we are rejecting X, and then adopts a rule. That what they mean in the rule is we're leaving open the possibility of accepting X at some other time without notice and comment.
That just isn't what happened. I know you hate the answer. That's not what. That's so not what happened here. I can't even.
But is that so your position?
It is.
Is it so your position that if it had happened, it would be okay?
It's not that it would be okay. It's that the commission would have the same holding, which is you need to come to us for a rulemaking. Now, I do think. That the commission, again, because those facts are so horrible, I think the commission would probably sua sponte, upon notice of this, start its own rulemaking. The facts are not the same here. Linear rights of way is the valuation the commission relied on the whole time. That has never changed. All that's changed is now the Forest Service is using linear rights of way to do its valuation, using an agricultural index to determine linear rights of way valuations. It's still using linear rights of way valuations, and the commission's still doubling that for figuring out hydro projects, because as the commission explained in the 1987 rulemaking, everybody agreed that hydro projects are worth twice the amount of linear rights of way. And that none of that has changed. It's all still linear rights of way. So my factual scenario is wholly different than yours, Your Honor, and I see that as the difference.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Council has some time left, right? Do you want to use it?
I will answer any questions the court has. Otherwise, we don't have anything further, Your Honor.
Nothing. Thank you. Case is submitted.